This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always on Thursdays by Matt Newmans. You could follow him on Twitter at MattNewmans247. I'm at 1TimMurray. Please do give us a 5-star review and continue to subscribe to the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also on YouTube now, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. Matt, as we head into Saturday, we say goodbye to Halloween. The Christmas commercials will be all over the television, and we've got massively important college football games all up and down the schedule. It's one of the best times of year.
And no doubt about it. And we've also got college basketball tipping off on Monday night, Tim. So we'll be talking a lot about college hoops on our VSiN primetime show every night for the next 5 months or so. And that's going to be a great thing. Halloween, always a big event in Vegas because the chicks love to get dressed up and go out for Halloween. I know, Tim, you love to go out and chase the chicks on Halloween. Oh, wait, I forgot. You don't. Sorry. Your wife might be watching the podcast today.
She's a big fan. She's a big fan of the podcast, you know.
I bet she watches it every week. I think your wife watches the podcast. She rates it. She subscribes. She gives you a 5-star rating because that's what you ask for every week. I'll tell you what, right now my goal is to just stay alive and Circa Survivor week after week, get to Thanksgiving, and keep plowing along into December. So we got a lot to look forward to here.
Sure do. And, you know, we got some big games this week, as we always do. So let's jump right into it with the biggest games of the weekend.
The main course.
And with November being here, it is appropriate that we call this the main course, as you'll be sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner before we know it. Matt, let's start in Austin, Texas. Number 20, Texas, taking on number 9, Vanderbilt. Texas has escaped the past 2 weeks, beating Mississippi State last week, trailing by 17 in the fourth quarter. And then 2 weeks ago, you and I both had Kentucky plus the points, and they should have won the game outright, Matt. Ultimately, Texas somehow, some way, wins both those games. And then you've got a Vanderbilt team coming in after back-to-back massive wins, home against LSU, home against Missouri with College game day there. You've got a noon Eastern, 11 a.m. local kick. It does sound like Arch Manning is trending towards being able to play in this game, and that's why we've seen the market tick up. Some threes starting to show up on Thursday in this one.
You know what? I'm actually, as the week goes on, this is kind of similar to the Texas-Oklahoma game, where as the week went on, Tim, we were kind of talking ourselves into the Texas side more and more. And that's what I've done this week. Whether Arch Manning plays or not, if Matthew Caldwell turns out to be the quarterback for the Longhorns, I would be okay with that as well. I actually made a Texas money line bet this morning, and I feel pretty good about that. I don't feel great about it. It's not going to be on my best bet list, but I think this is a really tough spot for Vandy. And I've been on Vandy the last 2 weeks, and the Commodores came through. Probably got a little bit fortunate last week against Missouri. If you go through that box score, Missouri controlled the game for the most part, 22-13 in first downs. Missouri was 9-for-21 in third and fourth down efficiency, and Vandy was 3-for-10. And Missouri outgained Vandy by 111 yards. But the Clark Lee, Diego Pavia, and the Commodores find a way. And, Tim, initially this was going to be a best bet for me on Vandy, but I wanted – my target number was 4.5. I wanted to get at least 4.5, 4 or 4.5, 5, somewhere in that range. That's not the case. So early this week, 1.5 was the number. I didn't get the best number there, so I laid Texas money line this morning. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't matter a whole lot to me if it's Arch Manning or Matthew Caldwell, because I thought Caldwell, who came in and threw a touchdown pass in that unlikely, improbable comeback against Mississippi State, which I got a push on at +7. I thought Caldwell looked okay. And Arch Manning's been so disappointing anyway. If he goes out there and tries to play with the effects of a concussion, how much worse could he look? But I will say, I'll call this a small play on Texas for me.
Yeah, it's it was one of the first bets I made, Matt. And, you know, you mentioned the Oklahoma game. I love that spot for Oklahoma, or excuse me, for Texas. I thought that was the ultimate buy low for Texas, especially with the John Mateer situation and his thumb. I don't love this spot as much as I did at Red River, but you and I both backed Kentucky in that spot off of Red River a couple weeks ago as a big dog. I do wonder, you know, when you look at this Vanderbilt team, and both these teams have played big games, right? Back-to-back overtime wins for Texas. So it's not like they've been sitting at home, you know, twiddling their thumbs waiting for this game. They've been playing some hard games on the road. But Vanderbilt, as you mentioned, you get that win, you know, against LSU last week against Missouri. Also worth noting here, and it's not a quarterback, so that's beneficial for having a broken thumb. Michael Taffey, the safety for Texas, is expected to play. He had surgery on his broken thumb back on October 20th. So that'll be a big return, as he did not play last week for Texas. And then I just am very fascinated to see this Vanderbilt run offense, which has been very strong this year, Matt. How does it match up against a elite rush defense? According to Brett Cianci and his numbers, this team is sixth in the country in adjusted opponent-adjusted rush defense, and you've got one of the best rushing offenses in the country. So I'm going to be on Texas here. You know, we send it our best bets on Wednesday night to get the graphics made. This number has moved about 15, 20 cents on the money line, but this will be a best bet for me, Texas, on the money line. ABC, that game will be at noon. We're going against, once again, our noon window policy there, as I'll be on Texas here in this spot. Night game, Matt, staying in the SEC. Let's go to Neyland Stadium, 7:30 Eastern. You've got Tennessee hosting Oklahoma, both teams with two losses. So a de facto elimination game in Neyland on Saturday night. And right now, the Volunteers, a 3-point favorite at home.
Tennessee is going to be a best bet for me. And of the three I've got, I'd probably rate this number three on my list of the first three bets I made. So Tennessee's number two in the nation scoring offense, 45.6 points a game. Oklahoma D, number five in scoring at 12.5 points. But I trust the Tennessee offense a little bit more here. Joey Aguilar has not been too bad in terms of turnovers. He's got 18 touchdowns, six picks, 23-44 in terms of passing yards. That puts him fourth in college football. And somebody asked me last week, who's got the best offense in college football? Could be North Texas, but when you're talking about the major conferences, I think you got to go with Tennessee. And Tim, I just don't believe that the Sooners are the same team anymore. And John Mateer's hand injury really changed the dynamics of the entire season for the Sooners. Once he went down, it hasn't been the same team really on either side of the ball. The defense is playing okay, but the offense is putting a lot of stress on the defense because the offense is just not putting up numbers, not moving the sticks. And Mateer tried to come back after 17 days after hand surgery. He has not been the same quarterback. Josh Heupel stormed into Norman and won this game a year ago, and I think the price is cheap here on the Vols at three.
Yeah, there's no love lost between Josh Heupel and his alma mater, certainly. When you think about that, and I heard this mentioned earlier this week, Seth Luttrell, he was a guy who was on Oklahoma's staff, and he was pushed out as they brought in Arbuckle to be their offensive coordinator. So unique wrinkles, certainly, with this rivalry, or it's not really a rivalry, but big game here. I don't have a bet on this one, but can't wait to watch it. Should be a fun one. High total of 56. For Oklahoma and Tennessee, and as mentioned, probably a de facto play-in, a play-out game, I should say, when it comes to that one on ABC. Matt, let's go to the late-night slate. Late-night slate last week was an embarrassment, as we had just one game, and it was 43-0 at halftime. This weekend, a little better, as we've got Cincinnati and Utah, 10:15 Eastern kick. Utah, 24th in the country, coming off of that ass-whooping of Colorado. And then Cincinnati, boy, a team that I feel like is not getting a lot of talk out there. They lose their season opener, and since have rattled off seven straight wins. Utah right now laying 10 in this spot, Matt, against Cincinnati.
FanDuel and a couple other books actually have 10.5 on this. That number looks high to me. I don't think you can make too much of what the Utes did to Hype Man Prime and the Buffaloes last week because that Colorado team looked like it just quit, probably in the middle of the first half in Salt Lake City. Tim, I thought this number here was going to come like 7.5, 8. So based on the number, I would have to play Cincinnati catching double digits, but it's not a game I've played right now.
You know, I did throw it into a money line parlay, and the last time we did a money line parlay officially on this podcast, I had Louisville, and somehow, some way, they lost to Virginia. So I'm sure this will go terribly wrong, maybe with the second leg that I put in there, which is probably a little riskier. But I really like Utah here in this spot. I just don't want to lay double digits. You had the weird situation last week with Devin Dampier, Kyle Whittingham just doing his normal shenanigans with the injury report. Brett McMurphy had an article about it earlier this week. I don't know how much it matters, Matt. I mean, as much as I love Devin Dampier, Bird Ficklin came in and was great against Colorado. Look, Brendan Sorsby, you got to give him a ton of credit, Matt. 20 touchdowns, one interception this year. He's run for over 400 yards. Nobody talking enough about Cincinnati and this offense. But I look at Utah's defense. I love the fact that this is a night game at Rice-Eccles. And I think it's fair to mention Utah, so far this year, has faced the 44th most difficult schedule, Cincinnati 73rd, according to Jeff Sagarin. So I think Utah wins. I would probably lean that way on the total, on the side, but I think this has got too high for me. So I'll throw them in a money line parlay, and we'll discuss the other half of that a little bit later. One more game, Matt, to mention in the main course. This game, you know, it was interesting. I went back and I looked at the game of the year lines that Chris Andrews put up at the South Point over the summer. And some of the games this week, you had Penn State, Ohio State. That summer line was 3.5. It's now 20.5. Kansas State was laying 4.5. Now they're catching 7 in that game. USC, Nebraska, we'll talk about this one here in a little bit. That game was USC -1. That's now 6. You look at Miami and South Florida, pick 'em. That's now double digits. Ironically enough, Matt, Georgia, Florida over the summer was 8.5. Sunbelt Billy has been fired, and this number has actually come down from the game of the year line. And you're interested in the dog here in this spot in Jacksonville.
Not just interested. I bet the dog here. I took the Gators +7.5, and I believe that number is still out there at BetMGM and maybe a couple other books you can find. I like it that Sunbelt Billy's out, obviously. We didn't talk about that on the podcast last week, and that disappointed some of our listeners and viewers that we did not hit on the Sunbelt Billy topic. Look, man, I thought that guy was a bad hire from day one, and I expect this team to get a big boost from the coaching change. Tim, you talked at length, and you had a great graphic that we put up on VSIN Primetime about the ATS results for teams in the first game after making a coaching change. Those apply to basically every team except for Colorado State and the Tennessee Titans. All other teams have benefited from the coaching change. Billy Gonzalez steps in here. I've read some stories out of Gainesville. I think the player is really going to be energized, and you're going to see a different Gators team show up here. He's got Ryan O'Hara calling the plays, Steve Spurrier Jr. on the field working with DJ Lagway. And they're going to work to get the plays in quicker. That's one thing about Sunbelt Billy. He was a little bit slow in a lot of ways. And he was so slow in getting those plays in that it annoyed people and put the offense in a tough spot a lot of times, getting the play in late in the play clock. I think you're going to see Florida look a lot more fluid offensively. And talent's not the issue with this Florida team, Tim. It never has been. Coaching incompetence has been the issue. And also injuries and a really tough schedule, a lot of things combined to get the Gators off to a poor start. I think you're going to see this team catch a second wind here. And also this Kirby Smart defense, not nearly at the level it has been at the past. And actually looking at the Georgia defensive numbers, how about this? 130th in the country in sack percentage. That means the Bulldogs are getting to the quarterback on 2.4% of pass attempts. Very low interception percentage. All the numbers indicate this pass defense is a weakness. I think DJ Lagway and the Gators can take advantage of this. 7.5, I thought, was a great number. I'd be really disappointed if the Gators aren't live to win this game, because I think there's a chance they're going to pull the upset. I'm just not buying into Georgia, Tim. We saw the Bulldogs pull a Houdini act in Knoxville. They should have lost that game to Tennessee, and they needed handouts from the officiating crew to win at Auburn.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you and I were both on Auburn, and we've seen since then how that has all played out from some suspensions that were handed out. You mentioned it. Let's circle back to it real quickly. So far this year, we've seen 8 teams play since firing their coach in season. Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, UCLA, Arkansas, Oregon State, Penn State, UAB, and Colorado State. Those 8 teams in the game following the firing, 6-2 against the spread. As you mentioned, Colorado State was a disaster last week as they got shut out by their rival Wyoming. But the fired coach bump certainly tried and true over the years, and we'll see if it comes home this weekend in Jacksonville in the cocktail party, 3:30 on ABC. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into those spicy matchups, plenty more best bets. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Every Thursday, we break down the entire college football card. We have 3 episodes each and every week of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast available on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and also on YouTube, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. All right, we had the main course, but prior to that main course, you know, sometimes you want a little spice in your life. So let's get to those types of showdowns this weekend.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
All right, Matt, there is no doubt if we had put odds on where these games would have been structured preseason, it would have been about minus 10,000 that Penn State, Ohio State would be in the main course. But instead, we had to throw it here in the spicy matchups because it's been a nightmare of a season for Penn State, and Ohio State is just chugging along as the highest power-rated team in the country. The number, Matt, for this game, big noon kickoff on Fox, 20.5 for Ohio State. And as I mentioned, the game of the year line was Ohio State -3.5. What do you make of this one, noon Eastern in Columbus?
I still think this is a very intriguing game, Tim, and we're going to find out what this Penn State team is made of here, because you don't want to get embarrassed by your rival like this. And also, I'll tell you why I think it's also intriguing. Why is this number hanging at 20.5 instead of 21.5? Because you would think the betting public is going to say, well, I'm weighing that 20.5. Ohio State's going to kill Penn State in this game. But that number is not hitting 21, Tim. It's not going to 21.5, which I find pretty interesting. It's kind of telling me that the odds maker is saying Penn State's the right side. Maybe I'm trying to read too much into it, but I look at lines a lot of times that way. Also, I've spent a lot of time in the last 10 days reflecting on that classic quarterback matchup in Iowa City between Grunkenmeyer and Gronowski, and how those quarterbacks combined for 160 yards passing and 3 interceptions. That was an all-time classic. I'm not sure what Ethan Grunkenmeyer can do as an encore here in Columbus. But you know what? He's had more time to run with the first-team offense, more time to get prepared here. One question I have for you is, what has happened to Nicholas Singleton this season? Catron Allen has become the featured running back. I think Allen's got 350 more yards than Singleton does on the season. It's almost like Nicholas Singleton has faded into oblivion, and Catron Allen is the engine for the offense here. I don't know. Talked about a lot of different handicapping sort of angles there. But I think the bottom line is you're going to see Penn State show up and play with pride. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Nittany Lions hang within the number. This is one of those games I might end up betting on Saturday, but it's not going to be on my card today.
Yeah, if you are in Las Vegas or the state of Nevada, our friend Chuck Esposito, Stations Casino, has this game numbered lined at 21, so you could get that full 21. I think you'll get it on Saturday. Wes Reynolds broke this game down extensively earlier this week. He's like you. He likes the dog here in this spot. You know, you look at Ohio State, 6-0-1 ATS this year, the only team who is covered or pushed every single game so far this year. And then on the flip side, Matt, Penn State, their first cover of the year, came against Iowa in that crazy game in Kinnick with the blocked field goal and all of that nonsense. So you do wonder if you get a really good effort from a Penn State team that certainly does have a decent a bit of talent in this spot. Big noon kickoff there, but will they be able to score is the worry for me against this pretty loaded defense for Ohio State. Matt, let's stay in the Big Ten and let's go NBC primetime 7:30. We've got 23rd ranked USC at Nebraska, and it's the Something's Gotta Give Bowl as Nebraska under Matt Rhule, who, by the way, got a fat extension on Thursday, so he's not going anywhere. His buyout is now $15 million, extended to 2032. But, Matt, on the road under Lincoln Riley, USC is 3-11 ATS as a road favorite. And Matt Rhule, if you combined his time at Baylor and here at Nebraska, I believe he is winless against ranked teams. So what do you make of this one right now as Nebraska, an intriguing 6-point home dog in this spot?
Over the weekend, Tim, Dr. Nish Gandhi was in town. We were out stadium swim at Circa, and Nish is a big Penn State booster, and he said Matt Rhule's going to be the guy at Penn State. And, you know, he's beloved, former Penn State linebacker. A lot of people thought that, you know, may not be a huge move in terms of a move up for Penn State going from James Franklin to Matt Rhule. They seem like very similar coaches. But now Penn State apparently is not even going to get Rhule. So it's going to be interesting which way the Nittany Lions turn. I'll tell you, I'm going to throw, before I jump into handicapping this game, I'm going to throw a name at you, and this is a guy I think should be talked about at Penn State, should be talked about at LSU. Everybody's fixated on Lane Kiffin right now. Joe Brady. Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator at LSU in 2019, right now OC for the Buffalo Bills. I think he's going to get one of those big jobs. You don't always have to look for the big name. I don't think Jeff Brom's going to leave Louisville. You know, it's his alma mater. He said it was his dream job when he left Purdue, and I believed him. I think he's the type of guy who's not going to chase the money and chase a bigger job. I would be surprised. I mean, not shocked, but I would be surprised if Jeff Brom, even though I think he'd be a great candidate for one of those big jobs, be a bit surprised if he left Louisville because that's home for him. Don't be so fixated on the big names and the sexy names, Tim. And I'm going to turn this back to college basketball just briefly, because when the Kentucky basketball job was open, you heard the all these talking heads in the media throwing all the big names out there for the Kentucky job. And then it turned out that Mark Pope got the job. And Pope was a BYU at the time, and you heard, well, I thought Kentucky would make a splashier hire. I thought they would go for a bigger name. You don't have to have the bigger name to be successful. Nobody batted an eye when Kurt Cignetti was hired at Indiana. You know, that didn't make any sort of headlines. It was probably a little one-paragraph blurb in the newspaper that Kurt Cignetti was hired by the Hoosiers. There are coaches like that out there you can find. It might be Joe Brady. It might be John Summerall. Right there, you look at North Texas. There are a lot of coaching candidates out there. Mark Pope has turned out to be the perfect hire for Kentucky basketball. I don't think he could have hired a better guy. But when he was hired, a lot of people were disappointed. I thought you'd get a bigger name. That's why I don't think Penn State's going to be. You don't have to be fixated. Penn State, LSU, Florida. If you don't get Lane Kiffin, there are plenty of other quality candidates out there. You got to find them. I'll even turn this to baseball, Tim. How about you, Savage, last night for the Blue Jays, totally shutting down. He made $57,000, which is about one-fifth of your salary at VSIN. He made that when he was called up to Toronto this season. He made $57,000. Last night, he shut down a Dodgers lineup worth about $1.5 billion, right? So you can find value out there. You just have to hunt for it. Like Cam Scatabo running back in the fourth round instead of Ashton Jeanty, the number six overall pick in the draft. I like Nebraska. I bet Huskers plus 7 this week. And there's still 6.5s out there, so you could buy this to 7 if you want. But the Matt Rhule news makes me like the Huskers even more. I think this team's going to be fired up, say, hey, our coach does not have 1 foot out the door. He's here with us. I think the stadium's going to be energized. The fans are going to be fired up. I expect Nebraska to come with a huge effort here. And, Tim, what's the one weakness for Lincoln Riley? He can't win on the road. He's got a really tough – I mean, he's lost a lot of close games, including the one at Notre Dame 2 weeks ago. But Riley, 1-2 on the road this year, lost at Illinois and Notre Dame, 1-4 on the road last year, lost at UCLA in an ugly – or won, he won at UCLA in an ugly game. That was his one win. He's got wins at Purdue and UCLA. But 2-6 on the road, and this goes back years with Lincoln Riley as a road favorite. He's in a fade spot in that role, Tim. I've got a lot more here on this game, but Dylan Riola, Emmett Johnson are starting to move this Nebraska offense. Johnson had 27 carries for 124 yards against Nebraska. He's got 5.7 yards per carry. I know a lot of people like to mock Riola, but he's got 73% completion, 17 touchdowns, 6 picks. I think the Huskers come up big in this spot. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they win the game, but I did take +7.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I wanted to circle back to the number. 0-18 against top 25 teams at Nebraska and Baylor for Matt Rhule. But how about this nugget? And it's been mentioned a bunch, but Brad Powers put it in his newsletter earlier this week. Traveling two time zones at USC. USC is 1-7 straight up, only win at Purdue, and 1-7 against the spread. And that came on the closing number, Matt, against Notre Dame when it was closed 10.5 and they won or lost 34-24 in that one. So certainly from a travel standpoint, USC has not been able to get up for these games. So Nebraska, best bet for you. I wanted to sneak in this game because you have a future that you want to place on Indiana. Indiana visits Maryland 3:30 on CBS. You and I were laughing. Kirk Cignetti channeling his inner Lou Holtz with his praise for this Maryland football team. They've got a great punter. They got a great kicker, long snapper, short snapper. They're a quarterback, 6'5", 230. He was going on and on, Matt. Indiana at Maryland shouldn't be too much of an issue for the Hoosiers to win this game, but you're looking a little more big picture on this Indiana squad.
I would be interested in the Terps and the points possibly too, but I'll see. That's not a play for me at this point. Maryland has lost him 42 consecutive games versus ranked conference opponents. Throw that stat out there to Scott Van Pelt this week and see what he has to say about that. 42 consecutive losses versus ranked conference opponents. So no illusions here that the Terps are going to knock off the Hoosiers. This is a big number for Indiana to cover on the road. And don't forget, the Hoosiers did struggle on the road at Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz let that one get away, man. When you look back at that game with about 3 minutes to go, the Hawkeyes had that. And they let him off the hook. And a lot of people have forgotten about that. Fernando Mendoza, I bet him to win the Heisman at +250 last night. DraftKings has got 260, Westgate 250, Circa 240, so we'll call it in the middle. Mendoza, 73% completions, 24 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's been sacked only 6 times, got 196 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. The only category where you can say, you know, he's not top 5 as passing yards, but who really cares about that? He's got 1 300-yard passing game, which is it, and he threw that pick 6 at Oregon. I don't see Indiana losing a game the rest of the way. And in the season finale at Purdue, I bet you Kurt Cignetti lets Fernando Mendoza roll up some huge numbers to try to clinch the Heisman. That's going to be for prop players out there. Keep an eye on that. Because I think Cignetti's going to let Mendoza go wild against that poor Purdue pass defense to try to clinch the Heisman. I'm late to the party here on Mendoza. I thought about 3 or 4 weeks ago he was going to win this. I finally made the bet last night. Better late than never, +250.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll dive into a couple ACC games. Does the luck continue for Virginia? We'll hit on their game out in Berkeley. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm Tim Murray. That is Matt Humans. Just a reminder, our good friends over at Rainbow Authentics have been a proud sponsor of this podcast all year long. They helped us get out to lovely Honolulu for that season-opening win for the Rainbow Warriors over Stanford. And if you want a piece of some game-used apparel, autographs, trading cards, whatever it may be, also the Tokyo Toe line is coming out shortly. Every item tells a story, whether it's that game-worn jersey or a signed ball, unique collectibles, and you'll also be helping out Hawaii Athletics in the process. So check them out, rainbowauthentics.com. And we will talk a little bit more about those Rainbow Warriors later on here in the show, as they have a big one against San Jose State. But mahalo to our friends, Rainbow Authentics, a proud sponsor all year of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, we've got Miami at SMU, a noon Eastern kick on ESPN. And last week, my favorite play of the week was Wake Forest. And boy, that was a frustrating win, but they ultimately got there. I think this SMU team is fraudulent. That all being said, I don't really want to lay double digits with Mario Cristobal here in this spot, but I think SMU got very much exposed. And I think the record and what they did last year is kind of saying, hey, SMU is good. I don't know if they are very good. I think this conference is littered with mediocre teams, and I think SMU is one of them, but not really a spot where I'm racing to lay double digits with Mario Cristobal.
No play for me on this game. I will say this. Somebody needs to ask Mario Cristobal why he punched in that last-minute touchdown against Stanford to cover the spread, by the way. You know, there's been so much talk about integrity in the NBA and some of these other sports, and talk about Jonathan Smith at Michigan State trying to cover the spread with that last field goal. There was no reason for Miami to run that thing in the final minute to beat Stanford 42-7 instead of 35-7, unless Mario Cristobal wanted to cover that number of 30. So I don't know if anyone has asked him about that, Tim, but it was obvious that the Hurricanes were looking to cover, and I just thought that's something that needed to be talked about.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and that definitely was on bad beats earlier this week if you had Stanford. Let's get to another ACC game. And, you know, it's funny, you mentioned earlier in the show about how you looked at Vanderbilt earlier in the week, and as the week went on, you've turned your attention to Texas. This one I've kind of soured on, but I still made the bet. I'll still give it out here on the podcast because I do think Virginia is fraudulent. But I think there's just something amiss here with this Cal team that you and I really like, especially earlier in the year. But you look at a couple of their last results, Matt, they get blown out by Duke, a spot that you and I both were on Cal. They should have lost to UNC at home 2 weeks ago. And then last week, in a bizarre game, they go to overtime. They lose to Virginia Tech, and they got outgained on the ground by over 300 yards. That all being said, Matt, this Virginia team, boy, you talk about a team that has luck boxed their way into a lot of games. They win in overtime against Florida State. They beat Louisville somehow, some way, with a postgame win expectancy of 9.8%. They beat Washington State by 2. And then last week, they should have lost to North Carolina, but they got the win. So 3 overtime wins for this Virginia team. I know the luck will run out. Maybe this is a bit of a spiteful play. I don't know. But I just think ultimately they're going to run into a spot where they aren't ultimately going to get that fortune on their side. So I took the points with Cal. The market is starting to go against me here a little bit. So like I said, not one of my favorite plays of the week, but Justin Wilcox, 14-6-1 ATS as a home dog at Cal. And we'll see if he can do it here against this UVA team, who I think is getting a little bit inflated in the market because of that number 15 by their name.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the idea of looking for spots to fade Virginia, because this could be one, and if it's not, there's going to be others coming up. The thing I told you after the Duke-Cal debacle, when Cal gave up, what, 30 straight points? 38?
35.
Yeah. I said I was done with Cal at that point. I was done. And then Cal failed to cover the next two, so I'm glad I stayed away. Golden Bears should have lost that home game to North Carolina. Tar Heels fumble at the a couple inches from the goal line, and should have won that game in Berkeley. And then how about last week? This concerns me. Virginia Tech outrushed Cal 357-39. I know you made a reference to the rushing yards, but I wanted to throw the number out there one more time because that's startling. 357-39 in rushing yards. So that's a red flag for that Justin Wilcox defense. I think Cal tempted me. I had it written down as a potential play this week, but when you swear off a team, you really shouldn't jump back on that side 3 weeks later And Cal has failed to cover the last two. But I agree with you. Virginia is a team you got to look to bet against here.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe they'll find their way. A ball will hit off a dude's helmet and you'll score a touchdown in seven overtimes. Or actually, seven overtimes would be fine because that would cover the 4.5. All right, Matt. Texas Tech at Kansas State, 3:30 on Fox. Neither one of us have a play on this game, but, you know, Texas Tech, they get upset a couple weeks ago by Arizona State, and they're still in decent shape to get the auto bid out of the Big 12. And this Kansas State team, are they starting to figure things out? I don't know. But right now, I mentioned it, the look-ahead line this summer was Kansas State -4.5, and now they're a touchdown underdog, and there's even some 7.5s out there. I thought Kansas State might interest you as a dog, but ultimately it looks like both of us staying off here.
Well, for now, I do think that Chris Klieman's starting to get things figured out, and good coaches do. I don't want to give up on K-State. I haven't played this team recently, but K-State's won 3 of the last 4 and dominated Kansas on the road in a 42-17 win after a pretty good win against TCU the previous week. Texas Tech's down to 1 quarterback now. Not that that's going to make any difference in the number because 1 quarterback's your starter, or he was a starter. K-State might end up being a play for me. I know that's going to really irritate Ryan Hyatt in Lubbock, Texas, so I'm not going to come out here on the podcast and make the play anti-Texas Tech. But I am starting to buy into this Chris Klieman team, Tim, and this might be the bottom of the market, right? This might be the spot where you're getting the most point spread value on a home dog like K-State.
Yeah, they've covered 4 straight, Matt. So Kansas State, after a brutal start to the year, has seemingly started to figure things out and dominated the Sunflower Showdown against in-state rival Kansas last week. Matt, let's go to Arkansas. We've been wondering, when is Neck Brace Bobby going to get his first win as the interim head coach of Arkansas? I thought it was going to be last week against Auburn. Some wacky things went awry in that game, and ultimately Arkansas, despite a 60%+ post-game win expectancy, lost that game to Auburn. They kind of fell apart as that game went on. And now you play Mississippi State. Matt, I'm always curious, and we do the letdown spots on VSiN Primetime every Tuesday, and everyone thinks it's just off of big wins. I do wonder the mindset of Jeff Lebby's squad after blowing that game against Texas. You're at home, you're up 17 in the fourth quarter, and you let it slip through your fingertips, and then you lose in overtime. I like Arkansas here. I know laying points with a team that is allergic to playing defense is probably not the smartest endeavor. So I mentioned earlier in the show, Matt, I paired Utah with a side and a money line parlay that might make you a little queasy, and it's Arkansas. I put Arkansas with Utah. I got that bet at around even money at Circa on Wednesday. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think Arkansas finally gets that first win. I really like this offense. The defense has got some issues. They got to avoid turnovers, which plagued them last week. But I'm really curious, Matt, where Mississippi State's head is at after allowing Texas to come back from 17 down in the fourth quarter and losing that game.
Tim, when you say they have to avoid turnovers, you know what bad teams do, right? They turn the ball over.
Turn the ball over?
Yep, that's exactly what they do. Did you see Ryan Brown for Purdue on the final offensive play for the Boilermakers last week? I mean, that's what bad teams do. They find a way, they turn the ball over, find ways to lose games. And it's mind-boggling sometimes. I think Bobby Petrino and the Hogs are going to break through here, but I'm not laying the points. I'm probably going to put Arkansas on a money line parlay.
All right, let's get to another game before we hit a break. South Carolina, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, what a win on the road at Oklahoma. I know a bunch of folks in the Circa Friday Football Invitational liked Oklahoma. I heard from some guys that I respect liked Oklahoma last week, and Ole Miss got a really good win, Matt, on the road. Historically, though, Lane has a clunker, and maybe it was the Washington State game a couple weeks ago where they were a 30-plus point favorite and won by 3. But now you're at home. It is a night game, so I think that benefits and tries to get rid of the clunkiness to a game. But I have not bet this one yet, but I'm intrigued in South Carolina here. Last week, they fought their ass off. Maybe similar to Mississippi State, they're a little bit down in the dumps after blowing that game against Bama. But I think Ole Miss better be careful coming off of back-to-back games on the road against Georgia and then the big win over Oklahoma. They've got smooth sailing ahead of the college football playoff. This seems like a spot where Lane better be buttoned up because he tends to have a clunker every single year. South Carolina plus 12.5, not an official play, but they're definitely on the short list of a potential play on Saturday.
Yeah, I think you said it best. Those were some of the points I was going to make about the game as well. It's not a bet for me, but you explained that one pretty well.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hit the best of the rest, some more best bets as well. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, let's hit a little best of the rest here. A couple quick thoughts on some games. We'll go noon Eastern window, FS1, Houston. How about Willie Fritz's squad? They were a best bet for me last week. Didn't know they'd win the game outright. They did so against Arizona State, Matt. Now you got West Virginia, a team in year one of the Rich Rod era. It's been a struggle for the Mountaineers, but you were on the Mountaineers last week as they covered at home. Now you're on the road against Houston. I do want to look at West Virginia here a little bit. I want that 14. I don't know if I'll get it, but thoughts on West Virginia, Houston. Is this a letdown spot for the Cougs?
It could be a letdown spot. There's no question about that. But when it comes to West Virginia, I'm basically strictly looking to bet that team as a home dog and nothing else. It's a totally different team when that West Virginia wagon hits the road. So this game's going to be a pass for me. But I think you certainly can make a case that this should be a dangerous letdown spot for the Cougars.
This is an ugly dog, man. You look at some of their metrics offensively. Ooh, buddy, that ain't pretty. What's going on in Morgantown? 5 straight losses since the win over Pittsburgh. Matt, if you want points, you're going to get them in Denton, Texas. How about Drew Mestemaker last week? Threw for 608 yards on a Friday night. North Texas was tied at halftime and won 54-20 over Charlotte. And now they welcome in Navy. The midshipmen are 8-0, Matt, and they've got a brutal stretch upcoming here to wrap up the season. But Navy, Blake Horvath, North Texas, Drew Mestemaker, you've got a total of 65.5, a spread of 7. And I'll say this, I could not get on an under on this one. A defense will be optional in Denton on Saturday.
I would agree with that. By the way, the top 3 quarterbacks in college football in passing yards right now are all out of the state of Texas. Sawyer Robertson of Baylor, Drew Mestemaker at North Texas, and Josh Hoover at TCU. And this North Texas offense has been fun to watch. This could be a coach who's going to be on the move. What do you think, Tim, when you're talking about all these coaching vacancies? Is this a rising star?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you look at what they've been able to do this year, Eric Morris, a guy that, has some good ties. So we'll see.
He's a young guy. Ultimately.
Yep.
Very, very young guy. So I don't know. I think he might be a little bit too young for, one of the big jobs in the SEC. Let's see. I'm double checking. I think he's 38. Now 40 years old. He's 40. So I guess not that young. But I don't think he's ready for LSU or Florida type of job. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a pretty good job. I think Rhett Lashley from SMU would probably be the front runner at Arkansas. Would you agree with that or no?
I would, yeah. And the ties for a guy like Eric Morris, Texas Tech, that job's not coming open for Joey McGuire. We'll see. But he certainly could be on some lists as things kind of work their ways around. But he's done a really great job, and it's been a fun team to watch. And that should be a fun watch. Noon Eastern, ESPN2, Navy and North Texas. Navy, by the way, next week at Notre Dame, look ahead line at DraftKings, 24.5 for the mids. So that is a big old number there. Navy 8-0, but 7-0, but some tricky ones coming down the pipeline. Speaking of Notre Dame, Matt, our colleague Stormy Bonantoni, she'll be on the sidelines there for Notre Dame and Boston College. We usually don't talk about games with 28.5-point spreads. This is could be a whooping here. It's funny to think Boston College used to be the thorn in the side for the Irish, 1993. had a six-game winning streak against them from, I think, 02 to 08. But Notre Dame has dominated this series, nine straight wins. Any interest in an ugly dog in Chestnut Hill?
I do not. Thought about it briefly, but not really. I told you several weeks ago I thought Notre Dame was, anytime Marcus Freeman gets a chance, I'm sure you agree, he's going to try to run up a big number because Notre Dame does not have any opportunities on that schedule, has not had since the loss to Texas A&M any chances to get big wins over ranked opponents. So Notre Dame's got to blow out every team it possibly can to get in the playoffs. So I don't look at these Notre Dame numbers as being too inflated. I think the Irish need to win big, and Marcus Freeman knows that, and this would be a pass for me. Bill O'Brien has even said that, you know, he's not getting the job done at BC, and I don't think this team's going to rally around him.
Yeah, they've switched quarterbacks a couple weeks ago. They were, as I like to say, Matt, they were feisty last week against Louisville, but they didn't get the win. They did get the cover against the
Tim again. Cardinals. What was that, Tim? That was Jeff Brohm as a favorite. You don't want to bet Jeff Brohm as a big favorite, right?
All right, a couple more games, Matt, before we wrap things up. We will do our best bet recap for those of you watching with us on our Fast channel on YouTube and on the podcast here. So we still will get to the best bet recap as well. But we always love betting the late night games, Matt, and we talked about one earlier in the show, Cincinnati at Utah, 10:15 Eastern. How about our Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii going on the road to San Jose State? Just a reminder, our Hawaii preview always brought to you by our friends at Nahoku, the Hawaii's finest jeweler since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nahoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Each piece is inspired by the beauty and traditions of the islands, crafted by Hawaiian gold. They've got rare gemstones, pearls. Nahoku designs are timeless, perfect for celebrating life's important moments, from a special keepsake to an engagement ring, or simply a gift that captures the aloha spirit. The holidays will be here, folks. Before you know it, they've got 30 locations across Hawaii and the mainland. Head over to nahoku.com. Mahalo to our friends Nahoku for being the proud sponsor of every Hawaii game on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, there's a lot of ties between San Jose State and Hawaii. Five coaches on the San Jose staff, four coaches and an analyst, went to Hawaii, including their head coach in Ken Niumatalolo and their OC in Craig Stutzman. Seen a little bit of Hawaii love coming to the market on Thursday. What do you make of this spot late night in the Bay?
Well, I like Hawaii a little bit here, Tim, but you're going to have to talk me into this one because I don't like it when a hot team goes into a bye, and I think Hawaii is probably celebrating a little bit about being bowl eligible. And it's not an ideal spot because you got six wins. You know you're in a bowl. You had the bye week. Probably had a lot of players out partying. I'm just guessing, you know. And San Jose is going to be playing with a little bit more of an edge here. Spartans are 2-5. Their bowl streak is about to end. They've got a bunch of must-win games coming up, and they're going to have to finish 4-1 to get there. So I'm not there right now. If anything, I might play the over in this game, Tim, because Hawaii's offense has been fine on the mainland so far, aside from the Arizona game, at Air Force, at Colorado State. And I do like this San Jose offense, too, with Walker Egitt and the spread and shred. I think you can see a high-scoring, entertaining game here. So I'm leaning more over the total than I am to a side. So you're going to have to talk me into Hawaii if you like that side.
Yeah, I did play Hawaii earlier this week, Matt, you know, we'll see how this all plays out. But Mike Alejado has been playing exceptionally well, 390 yards per game over the last handful of games. We'll expand on this one a little bit more on the podcast and YouTube channel, but this has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. All right, bonus time here on the podcast as well as on YouTube, as I was cut off there abruptly on the Hawaii game. But to expand on a little bit more, Matt, I agree. I think the spot is not awesome for Hawaii. I thought the Colorado State game, a game that you and I both bet, was a very good spot for them to hit against a wounded team in Colorado State. Alejado's been playing great. 9 touchdowns, 2 picks over his last 3 games. How about the ties between these two programs, Matt? Craig Stutzman was a wide receiver for Timmy Chang. Timmy Chang was the youngster on June Jones's roster back in 2000. So I imagine there were a couple touchdown passes thrown between Chang and Stutzman. So a lot of ties. They both went to St. Louis out there in Hawaii. So, yeah, I think the point you made, Matt, about San Jose being in a bit of a desperation spot is certainly fair. But I am curious if Hawaii has just been continued to be undervalued and maybe it's a bit overrated, their travels to the mainland where they've played well against Air Force and Colorado State. So I did take a little bit of 2.5, not my favorite play. It will be on the best bet card here, but I did take a little Hawaii. Certainly don't push back though, Matt, on the over in this one. Total sitting at around 56, two similar offenses, right? The spread and shred is what they call it at San Jose State. But a good late night game on CBS Sports Network. Matt, staying in the Mountain West, New Mexico is at UNLV. And New Mexico has been a team that has been, I think, one of the bigger surprises in college football this year. Jason Eck coming in from Idaho, all those transfers. And boy, that was an eye-opening ass-whooping of UCLA a couple weeks back. So what do you make of this spot in our backyard, Allegiant Stadium? This game will kick off at 3 Eastern. UNLV off a bye, taking on New Mexico.
UNLV defensive numbers are pretty ugly, and it's against a relatively weak schedule, too. When you stack up the Rebels' schedule strength and defensive numbers, it's not a pretty picture. I think this has a chance to be a shootout, too. The total is too high for me to play it over. I think the Hawaii-San Jose over is a better bet than maybe this one. Don't forget, Tim, that the Lobos went to San Jose and lost 35-28. They were down big in that game. That was early October on a Friday night. And in fact, I think San Jose had a 35-17 lead in that game, ended up winning 35-28. So Spartans do have that on their resume when you reflect on that team we just talked about. New Mexico has been great under Eck. Other than that, to this point, I think this is going to be a dangerous spot for the Rebels. I think we've seen a little sharp money come in on the dog, and I tend to agree with that, but it's not enough for me to bet it yet, and it's not on my best bet list. But I have New Mexico written down. See, Sunday night, I wrote down New Mexico as a potential play. I still have not bet it, so I missed the best number. But that's definitely the side I would look at. Lobos are pass for me.
Yeah, I'm on the Lobos, Matt. Took 5 earlier this week. There's still some 4s out there. I just don't believe in this UNLV team. You and I bet against them when they went to Miami of Ohio. They should have lost that game. They were very fortunate Daquan Finn got hurt, the starting quarterback for the Red Hawks. They had a couple of block punts up against Wyoming. And the Air Force game, I mean, that was as an entertaining, if you like points, of games that we've seen. And then they got blown out at Boise State. How about this, Matt? You mentioned the defense, 132nd nationally in yards allowed. They've actually been outgained despite being 6-1. They've been outgained by 14 yards per game. And they've been very fortunate with turnovers, plus 10 in the turnover margin. New Mexico on the flip side, minus 11. Sometimes when I see a big discrepancy like that, you do wonder if this would be a situation where maybe you get a little bit of regression to the mean. So New Mexico is a best bet for me, and put that one on the card. I am curious, Matt, you do know the Big Ten really well. Purdue at Michigan, the Boilermakers, you and I trying to figure out when Barry Odom's going to get that win. I thought it was going to be last week. You mentioned the crazy finish of Ryan Brown fumbling the ball after catching his own deflected pass. Michigan's a 21 and a half point favorite Saturday night at the Big House. Any interest here?
I would like to get on the Purdue side in this game, but the ending to last week's game was so sickening that I don't think I could do it. I don't know how Purdue lost a 10-point lead and lost that game to Rutgers. It was sick. And again, I've talked about bad teams finding ways to lose and quarterbacks who turn the ball over. Ryan Brown just no sense for he just throws the ball right into the defensive lineman's arms. And then instead of batting the ball down, catches it, tries to run, fumbles. Rutgers kicks a game-winning field goal. That's got to be a really deflating loss for that Purdue team, because I think that was their last chance to get a win in 2025, Tim. They had that four-game stretch, Illinois, Minnesota, Northwestern, Rutgers. You got to win one of those games. The bar was low. Barry Odom just win one, and he couldn't do it. That's because he doesn't really have the quarterback to get it done. And his defense has been a little disappointing too. So even though I don't like this Michigan team that much, not too many playmakers, not the speed we've seen on the Wolverines teams the last few years, and you don't have the offensive explosive element that you had to the Michigan offense in the past. Bryce Underwood's better at home than he is on the road, but he's still not great. He's still trying to figure out how to play quarterback. I would take the points, if anything, because I think Purdue will show up and fight. But I'm kind of out on this Purdue team right now, because we got Michigan, Ohio State, Washington, and Indiana left. And it's going to be a 2-10 season, and Barry Odom's going to have to try to get that first Big Ten win sometime in 2026.
Matt, I wanted to mention this real quickly before we wrap things up. Memphis is at Rice on Friday night. Halloween, will things get weird down in H-Town? You look at Memphis, this is a team that pulled off a huge win last week. Now they have to go on the road facing a funky offense run by Rice, 13th nationally in rushing yards, are the Rice Owls. I took the two touchdowns. I actually got, I think, 15 earlier this week, but two touchdowns still a play for me. I just think situationally, even though Memphis did lose that game to UAB, that does make me a little bit nervous about this particular spot. But I think Memphis needs to be on their P's and Q's, because next Friday night they play Tulane at home in a big spot on ESPN with massive playoff implications. So keep an eye on that one. Rice at home against Memphis. All right, Matt, let's do what we always do to close things out, make it nice and tidy. Let's get to our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, lay it on us. What do you got on the card this weekend?
All right. First, I'll say last week, 2-2-1. I got a fortunate backdoor cover with Michigan State and a very unlucky push with Mississippi State, but so be it. 26-23-3 on the season. Florida +7.5. Tennessee -3. Nebraska +7. At this point, you probably got to buy the half point to get Nebraska at 7. And I'll throw in Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza to win the Heisman at +250. Better late than never. I think he's going to win it, Tim. I don't see a game the Hoosiers are going to lose down the stretch, and I think he's going to put up some big numbers. So I'll have several more bets. We talked about a bunch of the games on the podcast today, but I'll stick with those three as my best bets for now.
All right, we'll run through mine real quickly. It's been a very mediocre year, 28-29-3, 3-3 last week. So we're riding the roller coaster. Rice +2 touchdowns. That number has moved in our favor, so that's good. Texas money line. This thing has moved out since we bet it yesterday, so we're out at around -150. I'll be honest, don't love this play as much as I did. I thought I would, but I still played it. Cal +4.5. I think there are fives out there now. Golden Bears at home. Seem like they're trailing off a little bit here, Matt. But Virginia, I think, is a bit fraudulent. So we'll take the points with the Golden Bears. New Mexico +4, which is the number out there now. 4.5 is what it was last night. Hawaii +the points as well. We talked about that. Maybe not a great spot to back the Rainbow Warriors. Maybe the bye week helped them avoid the letdown for them after getting bowl eligible. And then a money line parlay, Matt, with Arkansas and Utah, got that around even money. So hopefully we can get a winning week here and build strong into the final couple weeks of the regular season. So there you go, my best bets. Matt and I will be back on VSiN Primetime on Thursday night. Matt will host the Circa Friday Football Invitational on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Always a great listen and all the selections there. And then join me at 9 a.m. for the VSiN College Football Betting Tailgate Show at 9 a.m. as mentioned. All right, Matt, that's going to do it. For Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Wyatt and Ryan, our two producers. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.